Suffolk. I hope you are sitting comfortably. Hopefully you've got yourself a, well, I was going to say a brew, but maybe in this beautiful weather you want something a bit more cooling. But my guest this afternoon is an artist. Hasina Khan works with glass, creating beautiful pieces of work, which she hopes will enrich people's homes and encourage people to think about the world differently. We'll find out about her and her work and her life and how she views the world in the next half an hour or so. Thank you so much for coming in.
That's all right.
Lovely to meet you. So tell me about your work then.
Okay, so I work with glass and I make wall panels and I make bowls and vessels that are embedded with Arabic text.
Wow. Okay. So why?
Why? Because why do I work with glass or why do I work with Arabic text?
All of the above.
I'll start with, I work with Arabic text. I work with Urdu, which is the language of my father. So my father's from Pakistan, my mother's from Bury St Edmunds. What I do is I work with a mixture of English and Urdu, which kind of reflects my background, really.
Okay.
So I suppose what I do is I take English words and then I write them using Urdu letters.
Right, okay.
And then I kind of rearrange them and make them look interesting and beautiful. And so really what I'm trying to do is the words that I write are based on themes that I think are important to me or that I think are interesting or that I want to convey.
Right.
And because you can't read it, I want people to kind of look at it and go, oh, that's interesting, what's that? And to make them kind of make them think. Mm. And then the title of the work usually translates what it is that it says.
Okay. And do you say you embed them into the glass?
Yeah, I do two things. Sometimes I take a piece of glass and then I melt it in such a way that the letters are formed within the glass.
Right.
So they kind of form sort of negative space. They kind of make, I suppose, indentations. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I cut the letters out of glass and then I join them together. So the piece is just a whole load of letters with gaps in between.
Okay. And then, so why glass as well? Why did you want to work with glass as a material?
I'd always been a maker, I suppose. I was a prop maker and a stage manager originally. And like when I was a kid, I was always making stuff for my doll's house. So, you know, and I made curtains and clothes when I was a student and I knitted jumpers and I made decorated birthday cakes for my kids. But so I'd always worked with my hands, but I wasn't really any good at anything. Whenever I made anything, it was like it was took much longer than I thought. It was never as good as I thought it was going to be. And then I just went to a weekend workshop in glass. I used to collect sea glass. So I thought, what can I do with all this sea glass? Oh, no, I'll make a mosaic. The mosaic course was full. So I thought, well, maybe I could do something with a glass course. So I did a weekend workshop in stained glass and it just felt like the right material. It just felt like it was a material that was right for me. Mm. It sounds a bit pretentious, really, but there's no other way to describe it.
So does it involve melting? How do you, you know, talk me through the process.
Okay, so I started in stained glass. I don't do that anymore.
Right.
So now I work with a different technique. I work with what's called kiln-formed glass or warm glass. So I buy sheets of glass.
Yeah.
And then I cut them to shape and then I put them in the kiln and the heat from the kiln causes them to melt and fuse together.
Right, okay.
And then I then take them out of the kiln and then I put them back in again into some sort of mould and heat them up again, but to a slightly lower temperature, and then they take on the form of the mold. That's how I get bowls.
Right. Is it quite a difficult thing to work with?
It's a very hard material. You need to be quite strong, and you'd have quite good fine motor skills. Mm. But no, it's not. It's not really tricky.
It's not. Is it the sort of thing that I don't know. I feel like I've seen people working with glass, but the only time I've seen people working with glass is probably glass blowing. You know, which looks really difficult.
Glass blowing is amazing. Yeah, yeah,
is it?
Yeah. I'm not a glass blower at all. And I just recently finished doing an MA in glass, and I deliberately didn't do any glass blowing while I was there because I knew I wouldn't be able to do it when I got back to Suffolk because there's nowhere, no glass, no hot shop anywhere that I'd be able to either use or afford to use.
But is it difficult with manipulating the glass when you put it into moulds? Is it the sort of thing that you can be almost close to finishing a piece and it and it breaks or?
No, not so much that. But when you take it out of the kiln, I mean, the whole firing process is really quite complicated. It's not as simple as just turning the kiln on and then letting it cool down. You have to take it through sort of 10 different stages of heating it up a little bit, then a little bit more, and then holding it and then taking it down a little bit. So that's complex. So you need to learn your kiln and the best way to get the process that you want. But most of my accidents happen when I take it out of the kiln and then I'm then trying to polish it or kind of grind away. Like if I make a vase and I want it to stand, I need to grind away the bottom to make it flat, and that's when it breaks.
And who comes and who you know, who do you find that's interested in your work, and who likes to take it to you know, because you say you like it to enrich people's homes. Who comes and...
Well, I've only just recently finished studying and my work changed a lot while I was studying, so I haven't yet found the kind of the main outlets. I haven't found the kind of the shops or the galleries to take this particular type of work. But when I finished my MA, my main piece was bought for the permanent collection in the museum. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I think it was the right piece of work in the right place at the right time. But yeah, no, I was very pleased.
That's not a bad kind of first, is it?
Yeah, no, so that's I studied in Sunderland because I wanted to study at the National Glass Centre. And so if anyone's in the northeast between now and the end of the autumn, go and have a look in Sunderland Museum Winter Gardens, because they've just put the piece up. So people can go and see it there.
It's
a long way from here, but you know. I think there is a market for my work, and I think there are people that are interested, but I don't quite know where they are. And I think I'm not sure that necessarily rural Suffolk is the best place for my work. I think it might be better in more urban places or in places where there's a more diverse community. I think people get scared. They look at it and they go, oh, I don't know what it says. But actually kind of it doesn't really matter what it says, because what I want people to do is look at it and go, oh, that's interesting, or that's beautiful, or that's intriguing, or I want it just for what it is. Doesn't matter
what
it
says. So if someone came to you and couldn't read Urdu and didn't know what it said, would you tell them what it says?
If they asked me, yeah. I mean, even someone that could read Urdu probably wouldn't be able to read it, because I rearrange all the letters anyway.
Right.
For artistic effect, I suppose.
But so it's not important to you that they get the meaning, it's more important that they just like the aesthetic of it?
Yeah, liking it is most important to me. Being influenced and affected by what it looks like is really important. I'm never going to make edgy work. I'm always going to try and make work that's one might describe as beautiful or pretty, which often are negative words, but they're not for me. And the fact that it's then got a meaning is kind of important to me, but not necessarily important to the person that has it.
You say that you want people to encourage people to think about the world differently. So, you know, how important is that, and how do you do that?
Well, I suppose
that's the fusion of...
Yeah, I suppose it's partly about the fact that it's a combination of two different languages.
Yeah.
And it is partly also about what the work says or what it's called. So the piece that I was talking about that went into the museum was a big piece of 7 big wall panels, and it was called Do Not Ask. And it was all the questions that people ask me, particularly strangers, not necessarily people I know, but people that I know, people kind of complete strangers, people that I bump into, the questions that they ask me that make me feel like I don't belong. So the whole piece was about othering. So the first panel said, do not ask me where I'm from.
Right.
You know, and I get that all the time. People say to me, oh, where are you from? I go, Breadfield. And they go, no, where are you really from?
Yeah, Breadfield.
yeah, but that's not just particular to race. You know, that people from all different sectors of society are othered by other people, and we don't necessarily really think about what we're saying to people and the impact that might be having on them. So that's what the work is about, really. But it's kind of by stealth. I'm not trying to, you know, harangue people and berate people. I'm just saying, just think about, you know, do you really need to know where I'm from? Is it really that important?
Yeah.
For the first time you meet me?
Yeah. Really interesting. It's really interesting. We're going to come back. We're going to hear more about what you did before.
Okay.
Before you discovered this love of working with glass. On the sofa. BBC. Radio Suffolk. I'm joined by my safer guest this afternoon, Hasina Khan. We're talking art. Hasina is at, what do we call you, what's the proper name for someone that works with glass?
Glass artist.
There you go. That's easy, wasn't it? That's what we'll call you. Yeah. So, but you haven't always been a glass artist, as we've discovered. But kind of, were you always big on art growing up? Was it a big thing for you or...?
Not really, no. I think I fell into working in the arts by accident. I didn't do very well at school. And the only thing I was any good at was reading and English. So I went off to do a degree in English because it was the only thing I was any good at. But while I was there, I did an exchange and I spent my second year at a university in New Jersey in America.
Oh, wow.
Which was, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And they had a semi-professional theatre on campus, so I got involved. I worked in the workshop making props and building sets, and then I also worked backstage on lighting. And I remember, like, this is going to sound so random, but I remember it was the first time in my life that I realised that you could work in theatre and not be an actor.
Really?
Yeah. Never knew that until that point. So I came back going, oh, I want to be a stage manager.
Yeah.
So I did. So I trained as a stage manager and then I worked as a professional stage manager and prop maker all over the country. But my last job as a stage manager was I came to work at the Wolsey Theatre. When it was the Wolsey, not before it was the new Wolsey. So that's how long ago it was. ended up staying in Suffolk because of that.
And it's not a bad place to stay.
No. Weirdly, my mother's family are from Suffolk, so that was I think probably it, maybe it felt like home because of that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, possibly.
So.
So you came back and you ended up staying in Suffolk, but the stage manager thing that sort of evolved into something different. It's still in theatre.
Yeah, I mean, stage management is a young person's job, really, and you just get to the point where you just, you know, had enough. I got to the point where I'd had enough. So I did a kind of a sideways step. I was really lucky in that I was offered the job to set up and run the education and community department at the Theatre Royal in Bury St Edmunds. And I'd say I was lucky because they specifically didn't want it. Lots of those jobs go to people who are ex-teachers and but they deliberately didn't want to teach. They wanted a theatre professional.
Okay.
And I was lucky enough, and I'd been working in Suffolk. So I ran that department for, I don't know, about 18 months, 2 years maybe. And then I kind of moved on to other theatres to do the same sort of thing.
And so the arts in some way, shape or form have always really featured for you.
Yeah, ever since that moment all those years ago.
And what was it like? Because you say you studied glass what was that like, kind of going, having worked in the theatre and, you know, worked for a while and then going back to be a student again? How was that?
That was all right. That wasn't weird. But what was weird was I still, well, until quite recently, always thought of myself as a theatre maker, although I was running departments and not actually making theatre. But theatre is my art form. And it felt really weird to go from being in the performing arts to being in the visual arts. Mm. It was like, I felt like an imposter. I that took me a long time to kind of not feel like I was in the wrong art form.
I guess they're the same but different.
Yeah, they are the same, but they are different. The biggest difference, I think, for me is that working as an artist or as a visual artist maker is that generally you're working by yourself, whereas working in theatre you work with other people. Mm. Like as a stage manager, I couldn't do my job if I didn't have actors and a designer and a director, you know. Whereas I can go and sit in my studio and make a piece of glass and I don't need anybody else. So that was the biggest difference for me.
And is it, I guess there's quite a big difference when it comes to how people perceive your work, because as a stage manager, making props and sets, and that isn't necessarily what the audience are there to judge, is it? Whereas what making your artwork, that's it. That's, you're going to get feedback on that, your specific work. Did that take time to get used to?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. You are right. That is the case. But I don't know if it took a long time to get used to, because I think I make work that I want to make.
Mm.
So I'm kind of not, I don't know. I think maybe people are too polite. If people don't like it, they just don't say anything, do they? So I guess
I don't know. Yeah. Do they?
Well, no one said to me that's rubbish. So, when you're studying, yeah. You know, obviously you get constructive criticism. You know, when I was doing the MA, of course, you know, the tutors were looking at it and going, well, you know, could be better. Mm. But generally, everyone else is far too polite to say, I don't like that.
Tell me about the open studios as well, because that's something that you've been taking part in, haven't you?
Yeah, so Open Studios, Suffolk Open Studios is in June. So lots and lots of artists all across the county open their studios for weekends in June. So there's 4 weekends in June and you can choose to open for one or all of them or as many or as few as you want. So I'll be open this weekend coming, actually. Oh. It's really good timing.
Yeah.
So Saturday and Sunday at my studio, which is at Bentwaters, I'll be there between 11 and 4. And anybody that wants to can kind of, they can find their way around the base. They can come and see me, come and see my work, have a chat, say nice things about it, or not. Maybe they might not.
Oh, no, they will say nice things.
Yeah.
And this is Old Jet, isn't it?
Yeah, so my studio's at Old Jet, which is, as I say, at Bentwaters, which is Rendlesham.
Yeah.
And obviously it's free to come in, and you can come and have a look, come and be nosy.
Wonderful. So, yeah, you can hear all about, you can go and see for yourself exactly what it is that Hesina has been talking about. On the sofa. BBC. With my guest this afternoon, Hesina Khan, who is a glass artist. So we've been chatting about your work and we know a bit more about what it is and we know that the Open Studios is happening right now. But what's coming up?
So I'll have some work in 2 exhibitions this summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm a member of Suffolk Craft Society. So they've got their annual summer exhibition at the Long Shed in Woodbridge on the 16th of July, and that runs until early August.
Yeah.
So loads and loads of artists and makers will have stuff in there, and I'll have some pieces in there. Don't know what yet. I better get on and make something.
Is it nice to be kind of a part of the Suffolk Craft Society with loads of other people doing not the same, but...
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been a member very long. I was only accepted as a member in January, February. So, yeah, really very new. So this is my first exhibition and my first kind of chance to meet other members. But, yeah, it is really nice to be connected to other people who are working with materials.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I know you've got another one at Ickworth as well.
Yeah, there's also an exhibition that they've organised at Ickworth House just outside Bury, and that's August to September, isn't it? Something like the 19th of August.
Yeah.
And people are being asked to make something specifically for Ickworth as opposed to more general stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's I'm still mulling over in my head what that might look like.
And what about when it comes to the, to the things that you make? Do you have plans for how that's going to develop, or is there anything that you have your heart set on that you really like to create?
No, I guess I just find I think things just occur to me and I work on them. I'm working at the moment on several pieces of work based around the word enough. Mm. I got a grant from an artist bursary, from First Sight down in Colchester, and because I wanted to make some work around, because I think there's a really big thing, like we all think we're not enough, we're not good enough, not clever enough, not pretty, whatever it might be. And I wanted to make some work which kind of, I suppose, began to debunk that narrative and kind of says you are enough. Mm-hmm. So I'm working at the moment on several pieces based around that word. And I'm hoping that I'll get some inspiration when I finish them for whatever the next thing might be. But it'll be something that's important to me, something that I want people to think about, or I want to speak to other people.
Mm. So, and in terms of your work, is that a really important part of it? Could you, could someone just come to you and say, oh, make this for us? Or does it have to mean,
If someone came to me and said, oh, can you make, yes, I mean, I think there's real potential in making bowls or vessels for people which have got significant words that are significant to them, or dates. You know, someone might want to commemorate an wedding anniversary or something.
Yeah.
I think that
it's a lovely way to do it.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. So, how can people find out more about you and your work?
Oh, so I don't have a website yet. We're getting there. But you can find me on Instagram.
Perfect.
It's at Hasina Khan Glass. I think that's about the only way at the moment. But there's a website coming soon.
And also, we can come and see you at the Longshed in July.
Yeah, come and see me at the Longshed or come to Open Studios.
Brilliant. It's been lovely to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And it kind of feels like this is the beginning of an exciting journey. So we'll see how it's going in a few months' time.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.